Hello?
Yes, you're coming through fine. Okay, give me the runway. Theta there, what's the act is there? Oh, hello, hello, test. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello. Oh, we're on the air. Hello, gang. Hi, George. It's Uncle Wiggily. How? Yes, tonight's program will have nothing to do with Satan. And I'm afraid that the show made a few converts last week. And I have no idea why. But, of course, as they always say in the theater, the devil always gets the best lines. And so, it's the truth. I mean, bring it up big. Big, 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 big. We want it big. Otto Preminger here. That's one of the great things about being in this business. You know, you're always running into contact with the truly great people of our time. And you never know when you're going to hear some, you know, great moment. Like, I'm in the elevator, and who's in the elevator with me? And this is this crummy elevator. You know, there's three cleaning men in there, and there's a bunch of old tennis shoes somebody left in the elevator. And I look over, and I see this Otto Preminger. I have seen him in many Nazi movies. He is always a general. And I see him there, and he turns to this the girl who works with me, and he says, "Well," and she was very excited. He says, "Well, I want to say we have beautiful peoples in the elevator today. You are a beautiful girl, my dear." We got off on the 15th floor. And, you know, these little historical moments are what... it makes it all worthwhile, I'll tell you it does. The other day, you know, the other day... Well, you just don't know who you're going to run into. For example, the other day in the hall, right here, I ran into Barry Farber. And I said, yes... And you never know. I mean, he's liable to be Lincoln in a couple of years. And it's very exciting all the time, this business. And for those of you who wonder about show business, it has many ramifications that many people are not aware of. And first of all, let's take some of those ramifications tonight, class. I would like to see a few notebooks out tonight, a few notes I want, because a lot of this is going to appear on the exam. And as you know, in the beginning of the semester, I told you that any time significant material was to be presented during the course of a class, I would warn you. I don't want I don't want anybody to be sitting back there reading mad comics when we're talking about the Magna Carta, and then of course it's all going to hit the fan later on when we give out the blue book. So what I want you to do is to get out your pencils, because tonight we're going to do something on showbiz. Now, for example, there are many of you who are not aware that one of the most interesting and significant and difficult to crack areas of showbiz is the commercial. Did you know that? I'm serious. That hardly a day goes by. Now, and I'll be very careful now, Marty. I'm going to give you a cue, but it may not be the one you're expecting. It's not going to be that over there. So, no. Listen to me. It's not going to be that, I said. So just listen carefully. The first thing we must do in this class is expect our minions to pay attention. Now, all right, minions, I want you to sit up straight and pull in your gut. And we will proceed from there. Now, one of the most difficult areas of show business to crack, believe me, it really is the commercial. And there are several reasons. Many are called, few are chosen. There's hardly a day goes by but what maybe 10,000 people don't line up in front of Young and Rubicam, all who believe they were the greatest thing to come out of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky since Carol Burnett. And they're all ready to do their, you know, to do their thing and to live or die for Alka-Seltzer or whatever it might be. No, I'm serious. Now, you go into an audition in one of these major studios that is holding an audition for a major account, and you'll find actors that you would never believe. I mean, very, very famous actors are lined up there, and they just don't make it. And so it's a difficult field. Now, I'll give you an example here. I'll play a commercial for you. Now, watch carefully. It's going to be this one over here now. The number one on your list, Little Lee. You got it there? All right. Now, whenever a major campaign is mounted of this type, immediately the call goes out, and the casting director, which is almost invariably a woman. Every casting director I know in town is a lady type, usually a very loud-voiced lady with a nice name like Poopsie or Betsy or Dickie. And they have all great names. They all have names that end in Y. I don't know why, but they do. So these ladies immediately call what they call a general call Or, what is it called, Lee? I'll ask you a question. Well, it's more than that. There is a term in it. It's a general call is a specific term, but what is the slang term? That is correct. It is a cattle call. Now, have you ever heard that term? A cattle call is when the general call comes out, any guys that got a voice and can holler loud, show up. And so 28,000 guys show, and they all audition. They'll range all the way from Jason Robards to three guys that hitchhiked in from Cleveland in the local radio station where they're the biggest thing since bottled beer in the afternoon, and they have the great show, you know, Cousin Freddie and all those guys. So, now, when the final product is done, when it's finally over, the man who is the lead in a commercial like this, he uses this as part of his resume. Did you know all this? And in fact, I've known actors who have quit acting because the whole business of the commercial is so lucrative and so specialized. And, you know, it's great to do a 12-minute piece of work and sit back in your farm in Maine and get checks until the year 1994. So hardly a hit show ever does that. Now, here's an example of a campaign which recently I read a lot about. And if you want to hear the final result of it, this was a big general call. And they call for large numbers of extras. You know, many a commercial will call for one voice. Now, I personally have done a lot of commercials where they'll call for a specific person or a specific voice. They'll call up and say, we want you to do the commercial. Well, that's something else. Or a specific voice. You may have heard me on a few of them from time to time. But then the big widescreen commercial is something else. There'll be thousands of extras. That's right. You'll go into the studio, and here's a and there'll be sound effects men. The guys are blowing horns and hitting bells. And here is a typical example of a widescreen commercial. And you just can't imagine the excitement in the studio when one of these is being done.
There exists on this continent a soft drink named Dr. Pepper. And to the enlightened know the drink may challenge the glory of its flavor. But Dr. Pepper is different from other soft drinks, and there are those who choose to remain outside the boundaries of its joy. Lost people filled with superstition who misunderstand it. And so, we raise our voices unto you, Dr. Pepper, misunderstood for now, but gallantly awaiting the coming dawn of love and acceptance.
Now they cut in the rock group. Engineers are running around. Guys are waving arms. They
bring it up, Charlie. Up, up, big. Good, good. Hold it right there. All right, beautiful, beautiful. Magnificent. Yeah, that's it. Bring it out, that pepper up. Bring it up, big.
Oh, great, great, kids. That's beautiful. Wrap it up. That's good. That's one in the can. Wrap it up. Well, that's a typical commercial, and they may do a spot like that like 1,000 times. Really, I've been in commercial situations where we had to do a spot. Well, I've actually been in a commercial situation where we did the spot over a period of 3 weeks, and there will be changes. There will be rewriting the music. They'll rewrite a line, and they'll go over a line for maybe sometimes a week, 2 weeks. There'll be calls to California. They'll call the owner of the company who's in his Swiss chalet someplace. And you're, well, yes, JB, but you see, what we say is rich, deep goodness. Well, look, JB, we can't do anything about it, you see, because it's already cut. Whole agency's been fired. Well, so it's a very complex situation. Now, there's a whole sub-area of commercials which don't really fit into... Do you find this interesting? Now, because I've done commercials for almost every type, in other words, every subtype within the whole general framework of commercials, and for those of you who think commercials are easy to do, they are one of the most difficult forms of performing that I know of. In other words, you perform for a half an hour on the stage, and your very physical body comes out and says something about the character. And the people are inclined to let you go for an hour or so, and they begin to see your character. But when you're doing a commercial, you have to capture a mood, a character, an attitude in less than mini-seconds, really. And in sometimes like 48 seconds, you have to create a whole scene, and it has to come right out instantly. And it's a difficult thing, really. And not many actors can pull it off well. Now, there's a subgroup of commercials. Now, I want you to stay tuned to the show tonight because you're going to hear something I guarantee you you're never going to hear again, ever, probably never heard it before. Now, there's a subgroup of commercials, and here's an example of one. That's going to be the number two on it. Just follow me. There's a subgroup. It's Rider in the Rain. Get it all set up there so everybody's all right. Now, there's a subgroup of commercials, and that's the movie commercial. And there are, yes, it's and these are quite often done by production agencies that don't do any other type of commercial. They do only movie commercials. I'm talking about radio and television spots for movies. And that's an interesting subgroup. I've done several of these. I've done some from Warner Brothers. I've done some for a Paramount one time or another. I did a few years ago for Seven Arts, and in general, this is a special type of commercial, and some of them within that group are almost classical in their methodology. There's a certain technique that they use. Now here's a typical example of what could be called the dynamic quote TV. Radio spot for a movie. Now that's a revolving quote. Now this one is about a current movie, and in fact it's playing in town.
At the Plaza Theater in New York, a motion picture called Rider on the Rain is now in its premiere engagement. Already it is being hailed as a cinema masterpiece. Judith Crist of New York Magazine and NBC TV says,
Rider on the Rain is the complete movie, a totally absorbing and a stick-to-the-ribs-of-the-mind thriller. René Clément's film glitters with style and shines with technical accomplishment. It signals his mastery of the art of suspense drama, the gutsiest of melodramas with shocking impact, momentous happenings, and beautifully defined tensions. It is for those who wonder where the entertainment, the involvement, and the shared human experience of films have gone.
Joseph E. Levine presents an AFCO Embassy film starring Charles Bronson and Marlene Jobert, Rider on the Rain, directed by René Clément. In color, rated GP, all ages, parental guidance. Now playing Plaza Theater.
Of course, then there's the... That is a... Wait a minute, let me see here. We have a tag on that one, yeah. And that is now playing at the Plaza Theater at 58th Street east of Madison. It's called Riders in the Rain. And it's got great reviews. I don't know anything about it except that there they are. But, you know, you don't hear people talk much about the industry of commercials often. And it's a fascinating one. I remember, in fact, one of the most interesting series of commercials that I personally was involved in a few years ago was a series done for DuPont Stren monofilament fishing lines. You might have heard those commercials. They were usually heard on monitor during the fishing season. In fact, they ran for, I think, something like 3 years, didn't they? Regularly across the country. You might have heard the American cancer spots that I did, which are still running. People ask me to perform those on stage. You know, it's curious, whenever you work in places, I don't know. The impact of commercials on people is really interesting to me because you can do something day after day, night after night, and you can tell, you know, great stories and do various things. But the one thing that seems to hit people is the commercial you do. And so everywhere I go, people will ask me about the cancer spots, you know, the American Cancer Society, or they'll ask me about a series of spots I did for Yankee Doodles. You remember Yankee Doodles, the little kid things? And they're very funny spots. Now, you wouldn't probably see those unless you... These are TV spots. You wouldn't probably see them unless you happen to have kids that watch cartoon stuff. And by the way, I found an interesting side comment that I must make here. And that is that, in general, the commercials turned out for kids tend to be often more creative than those turned out for general audiences. Now, I don't know why. Maybe it's because they don't take kids as seriously, so the creative ad agency will just swing all over the place, and they'll do some great stuff. This is WOR New York. And let's give them an example of another dynamic commercial here. Now, I want you to be careful now. Echo. Year one. There, I knew he'd get it. Good old Marty. Now, this is called a straight exposition commercial, and I'm going to demonstrate it to you. Now, for the last couple of weeks, it's only been about 10 days or so, we've had on the show a remarkable commercial, and it is a remarkable commercial for a very strange product, which is a totally curious, meaningful, oddly hypnotic, psychedelic poster. It's more than a poster. It's a curious statement of a philosophy. And it's called Year One. Very effective. And I would like to recommend to you, if you've got an odd $2 bill laying around the house, don't send it. Put it in a check. Check or money order to this address, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to get a poster that you just won't believe. It's Year One, and the address, please don't call us. All day long we're getting calls, and all I can say is, for crying out loud, write it down. Don't send it to the station. Year One. Now, immediately, I know five guys, I heard him, he said write it to the station. Hey! It's Year One, 460 West 34th Street, New York, New York. And the zip code is 10001. Now, you see, you got to know what you're doing, gang. Now, this poster, in case you do send, by the way, you're not risking anything, because they would be more than delighted to send your dough back if you're not just flipped out of your head with it. And it's the Year One, and it's beautiful. It's magnificent color. It's one of the best lithographic jobs I've ever seen. It is a beautiful piece of work. You've seen it, haven't you, Marty? You haven't seen this thing? It is wild. His mouth is now hanging open. You ought to see what's interesting about that, too. His fillings are glowing as a result of the fantastic radiation of this poster. By the way, it happens to be also a day glow poster, which means that if you turn the right lights on, your lap will get busted in your own house. It's wild. It's $2, and the address again is Year One, 460 West 34th Street, New York, New York. Now, it's funny about commercials. I was going to mention doing the Yankee Doodle thing. You know who else was on that commercial? Was James Coco, who is currently on Broadway. And many of the people you work with, it's hardly discernible from the other areas of showbiz, the commercial today, because a lot of people, a whole character will be created by a commercial, and it can be extremely important for an actor. An example of that, the guy that does the Silver Thins commercials, you've seen him. Well, this guy's had about 28,000 movie offers to do various things in the movies as a result of those commercials. Now, the character is fully developed in a one-minute spot. You see this spot, and he comes on as, you know, as much of a developed character as, say, James Bond. Very definite. The Lady Plumber is probably one of the great folk heroes of our time. Certainly, there's also the sub-area within the commercials, speaking of folk heroes, which is the cartoon or the animated folk hero. For example, the Jolly Green Giant. The Jolly Green Giant is very real to large numbers of people. And that little land that he lives in, you know, that whole place where those friendly little people sit around, obviously it's a dictatorship. And, you know, it's curious. But it's a benevolent one. He doesn't step on any of them like bugs. It would be a great moment if he did, you know, in the middle of the pea patch there. But nevertheless, the Jolly Green Giant is a real character. For example, another real character that's come out of the TV commercials, almost everybody who had a set a few years ago remembers. You can even picture it in your mind. Harry and Bert Peel. Can't you see Harry and Bert? They're very vivid. And two of the great comedy characters. Yes, Barbara Felton, the Tiger Girl. That was another one. And these characters all pop out of the world of commercials. And in fact, to many people today, the characters on the commercials are more familiar than the shows. You see, because the shows come and go, but the commercials remain. And so a series will come on, and for 3 weeks, this brand-new television doctor is in this television hospital, and all of a sudden, poof, he's gone. He's replaced by somebody named Clint, playing a tall, thin rancher, you know. It's Barbarossa Valley or something. And then, poof, he's gone. And out comes another Danny Thomas show. Then they bring back, so it rotates on and on. But who remains? The White Tornado. Who remains? The Jolly Green Giant. They remain steadfast and with us all the time. And from time to time, practically everybody remembers Mr. Clean. You remember Mr. Clean, the cartoon character? They tried to bring it into a live character, and it didn't work. Now, how many of you know the blue pad and the traditional red pad, pink pad, the traditional pink pad and the blue pad? He comes on, he says, "Hello, pink pad." And the other one says, "I'm the traditional pad around here." You know? And everybody knows these two characters, and yet, what are they? They're cleaning pads. And they're very vivid and very real to people. You all know the Alka-Seltzer stomachs. You probably have seen, hardly anybody. I'll bet there's a lot of guys right now, actors, walking around, and their chief credit is that their gut was on the Alka-Seltzer spot. They says, "Look at that gut, boy. That talks. That's a talking gut, you know." And you remember the one? The one I remember specifically is the one that was working the jackhammer. You remember this time? He was going up and down like jelly, you know. Must be jelly, but jam don't shake like that. So these commercials, even though we tend to put them down, are very entertaining, and not only that, they a great deal of tremendous amount of work and creativity goes into them. Now, yeah, the TWA symbols, yeah, that's a great bit. With the one I like is the one where the bear rug gets up and starts to sing. Is that Pan Am or TWA? Which one is that? You know, in the middle of up and away, and up they go. Then there's another one that's great. Most of you, some of the greatest photography on television is on the commercial. There's a magnificent shot of a 707. You just see the nose of the 707 slowly moving from right to left in the film, and you can see outlined against the background of it is the sun. It's a magnificent shot of an aircraft in flight. Some of these little 49 or 50 second commercials, say for example on Jamaica, there's a beautiful one right now currently that involves children in Jamaica. Did you see that one? That's a magnificent little piece of photographic poetry. It's a lovely spot. And in 49, I know it's not popular to say, I'm not arguing that. So you get tired of this, you get tired of that. That isn't the question. I'm saying that ultimately you'll find that a lot of the great work photographically that's done today is done in the world of the commercial. Now, Howard Zeef is an old buddy of mine. Now, you may not know Howard, but Howard is like he's the Mike Nichols, Picasso, Stiglitz, James Wong Howe of the whole commercial world. He's done some of the greatest commercials in the world, and I've known Howard for years, and he was a great creative photographer down at the Village when I first got to know him. And Howard has become probably the number one commercial creator. And in 49 or 50 seconds, you know, how about the little dramatic moments? That one commercial, I think, is one. There's one commercial on where the chick is lying in bed, and you see her husband, and he's in the john, and she says, "Our first home-cooked meal." And he says, "It was wonderful, wonderful." And she says, how did you like? He said, "I never knew dumplings came that big." She says, "Well, I thought I'd make a big one to really impress you." It's wonderful, wonderful. "I didn't know they came that big. Too bad you had to throw the rest of it away." She said, "I froze it." And he's swallowing. It's a beautiful commercial. Very funny and well done. And in 49 or 50 seconds, they do a funny skit that is much funnier than most of the labored movies that I've seen. And, there's a lot of commercials. Now, I'm going to play a commercial for you, the kind that I'm sure none of you have ever seen. There's a kind of commercial that only the trade knows about. Now, before I do that, I'll have to explain something to you that you may have heard rumors about. You probably have heard of the what they call a presentation show. This is called an industrial. Now, I, as a performer, I have performed in industrials. As a matter of fact, one of the first industrials I ever did was for the Willys Jeep. I'm not talking about the World War II Jeep. I'm talking about the Willys car. And they did an industrial in Philadelphia at a great show there at an automobile show a few years ago. And you know who my co-stars were on that same commercial? Bob and Ray. And we did a whole skit, a whole sequence for Willie's Jeep. So there's a lot of very important talent that gets involved in these things. The first time I ran into Carol Burnett, for example, she was doing an industrial. So a lot of performers have worked in industrials and still do work in them. Now, what is an industrial? Well, it's generally not open to the public. And so let's say if General Motors wishes to show its new models, the 1970 or 71 models, let's say, to all the top dealers in the country. They will invite them to this big auditorium. It may be in New York. It may be in Detroit. Generally, it's in Detroit so that they can take them out to the plant and all that. And they'll arrive, and the night of the industrial, it's performed like a musical. You know, he used to write for industrials. Frank Lesser. A lot of the top, Mitch Reed, for example, an old friend of mine who did Man of La Mancha. Mitch is the composer who wrote the music. He's a fine composer, and he's one of the top commercial composers. I wonder how many people know that. And yet he's also the same guy that did one of the great musicals of the last 10 years. So these are, you know, real talents. They're not just schlock operators. You've got to have it. And so I've performed in several of these things, and I knew a lot of people. In fact, the first time, I can tell you a lot of stories about industrials, but the industrial works this way. If General Motors, say, has their new models, well, instead of just bringing the people in there and showing them the cars, they have a tremendous stage show. And the stage show is specially written for the presentation of the product. And most of this music will never get out. You'll never hear it. And it may be composed by top composers, sung by top people. And so it's, in a sense, it's a kind of a waste of talent, but yet, on the other hand, it's a fascinating sub-area of showbiz, and it's very important today. In one night, they may spend as much on a tremendous presentation like that as mounting an entire top-flight Broadway musical costs, sometimes much more. And so there'll be lights and tremendous costuming and everything, and it becomes a big operation. And then they will often take that show, and it'll travel. They'll take a show, and they'll travel. They'll take it to different cities and play for different dealers and wives and so forth. And so right now, I would venture to say there are quite probably 50 or 100 commercial shows, presentation shows, or industrials, however you prefer to call them, that are traveling around the country that the public will never see, with a lot of named performers in them. Now, that is also associated with the so-called industrial movie. There are a lot of top films done for industries that are done by top filmmakers. And they will quite often use top actors, top narrators, and these things are only shown to people within that industry. Never get out. In fact, the first time I ever saw one of the most interesting industrials, I've done a lot of industrial films, and there are many companies that do them. For example, the Louis de Rochemont company that did the March of Time. They did Fighting Lady and so on. They make a lot of commercials, a lot of industrials now. Very artistically done, beautifully done, in fact. One of the best industrials I ever saw in my life was an industrial film that I was involved in. I narrated, as a matter of fact, that was about Cape Kennedy. Fantastic photographic images of the launching of an Apollo rocket, and it just magnificent film, greater than anything I've ever seen in that line. And interestingly enough, the guy that did the photography on it was also the top one of the top technicians on Kubrick's 2001. So, you know, this is professional work. Beautiful film. Now I'm going to play a cut out of an LP of limited distribution, and you will hear now I want you to guess what the product is about and what it's all about. Now listen very carefully. You're now in an auditorium. It's in the Midwest, and it's a professional gathering. It's a large group of people who are in one industry, and it's a special presentation. And it's a big musical. In fact, the people in it are all people who have been in musicals and so forth. And it's a well-written show, top writing and everything. And the opening, the overture has been played. The first act is now almost over. And now one of the high points of the show is about to occur. Remember, they're dancing and singing. And the people are all in costumes as they come out. The lights are flashing, and it's beautifully produced. The crowd roars, and the act begins.
Enjoyed our operation more. Every complication more. Wearing our disposable gowns.
My converter.
Cutting is much easier.
And it's so much breezier.
Love those new disposable sheets.
If the patient gets bloody, real bloody,
Surgipack is the way.
If I mess up the cover,
we'll get another.
We throw the old ones away.
We never enjoyed our operation more. Every complication more. Love that modern Surgipack way.
At this point, the cast is dancing wearing disposable paper costumes that are made by the product manufacturer. This is being performed in a hospital operating room set.
Super! I really enjoyed my appendectomy.
And I love my hysterectomy.
Love those drapes, those towels, and those caps.
By converters,
I feel good and clean in them. I don't mind being seen in them.
And now directly behind them, there is a chorus of dancers all clad as hypodermic needles. And they're dancing.
And groaning.
That won't bother me.
If she gets a transfusion, a contusion,
I'll still be comfy.
Showbiz
is here to stay.
Right the complications, so we've had such a
ball of
in here.
For another
next year.
Hey, listen, Doc, are you free in August?
Next year.
I can use another scar on the right side.
Next year.
Match up with the one on the left.
Right here.
Yeah. Showbiz. Now, that was a tune entitled I've Never Enjoyed My Operation More. And I'm just curious how many of you could identify what the product was that they were selling. Any of you who are doctors or nurses know immediately. And now that, for your information... Now, I imagine you're out there trying to guess. Well, now, if you know anything about hospital techniques, current medical practices, almost everything in hospitals is disposable. And almost all of it is made out of paper of one kind or another. Disposable gowns, sheets, and all that stuff. And this was recorded at a convention. In 1967, the American Hospital Supply Division National Sales Meeting, and it was held in the Abbey, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, September 6, 1967. And the title of that tune is I Never Enjoyed My Operation More. Now, if you followed the... and some of these things are just great, because you see, you must understand, that's all done with tongue-in-cheek humor. They're not being supercilious about operations, but it's all done with humor, and it's in... And that's medical humor. Now, most of the auditorium was filled with doctors and so forth, people who buy equipment for hospitals. And it was singing. Now, can you let me see? Do you want to hear the last? Give me the last cut on that one. Is that the one that's entitled Thank You? On that? Yeah. All right. Now here is the wind up. You see, they're thanking all of them for coming, and of course they wind up with a big pitch. It's all a giant commercial, but it's all done. Remember, like most commercials today, for those of you who probably have suspected it, I'll tell you were quite right that almost all commercials today are done tongue in cheek and with a great deal of humor. Years ago, they didn't do that. I mean, most people took their products very seriously, and oh, you couldn't be funny about them. And today, you'll find that there's a lot of humor. In fact, the tongue-in-cheek approach is, in general, what is in vogue today. For example, the springtime cigarette. Spring is taking off on that bucolic idea of that girl. You know, all of a sudden, she turns into this wild, fantastic chick. You can take the country out of Salem, you know that one. So this all tongue-in-cheek. And as a matter of fact, some of the funniest ones are generally those whose products we generally associate with serious things, and yet you find a lot of humor in them. Now here's the final wind-up of this big show, and incidentally the show is called The Spirit of 78, and it's again, it's all for hospital people, and here they go. The entire cast is on stage now, and all the doctors and nurses and all the purchasing agents for the various hospitals, everybody's out there dressed in their disposable operating gown. The dancing hypodermic needles have come out back on stage, and the whole bunch of, there's a great group of gamine-type dancers carrying bedpans. A beautiful scene, and here they go.
We thank you for letting us Drop in.
We had a ball preparing and sharing it with you.
See, it's kind of a sentimental reprise.
We thank you for coming, for being here, for your good cheer.
We hope that you enjoyed it some too.
Here they go.
We're Sugar's finest paper.
And as all the dancing is going on.
That has ever been. You are the finest sail port. This combination has to win.
Yes, sir. They all hold up their signs. Win, it says.
Thank you to everyone. Here's to the very finest year.
It's got to be your finest year. You and the products can make it come true.
The future's indisposable. The profit's indisposable. The future's lovely.
Looking up. Looking up, 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 up. And the curtain, the lights go up. The orchestra stands. A smash hit, and these shows are even reviewed for your curiosity. You may not know this, and I hope I'm not sounding patronizing, but after all, I am in this business, and a lot of things many people are not aware of who are in other industries, but these shows, you know, are scouted by major producers for talent, and in fact, most of these industrials are even reviewed. They're reviewed in major showbiz weeklies and dailies. So that was a big smash hit, The Spirit of 78, and it was all about disposable hospital wear, like disposable operating gowns, disposable sheets and pillowcases and all this stuff that they throw away. Now, now, you know, I don't recall ever doing a show about the world of commercials quite like this. I doubt whether many of you have ever heard one like this. I know that there's a great deal of curiosity about commercials. And of course, in the commercial world, they're just like every other. And I'm not being exactly facetious when I say that it could conceivably be one of the major art forms of our time. I'm not being funny. I think that that years from now, hundreds of years from now, people will be looking at commercials because they see reflected in the commercial. They'll see the real desires and dreams and hopes and one thing and another of most people. I think you're going to find a lot of interesting things ultimately will come out of the commercial world and already are there. Last year, I happened to be one of the, I was lucky enough to be one of the featured entertainers at a major creative, it was actually the culmination of a creative convention that was held and is held yearly at Northwestern University. And people came from all over the world. It was interesting to see people from even Czechoslovakia, so-called communist nations, were there studying how to do good commercials, really creative ones. And they were from Czechoslovakia, China, they were from all over the world, New Zealand, every place. And yes, that's right, because we don't recognize the fact that the commercial is used in many different ways, and it's used in many different countries. You go to a country like an Iron Curtain country, for example, like Yugoslavia, right now in Russia. Do you know that in Russia that they've been putting commercials on television there in an attempt to bolster their economy and to try to stimulate sales and one thing and another? So this idea of the commercial it's intriguing to me. Naturally there are mixed feelings about them, but I say consistently today the commercial has a great entertainment quotient. I mean, it really does. And kids recognize this. Adults carry over some kind of an old prejudice against the idea of a commercial, but kids in general love them, and they're not necessarily swayed by them. They love them. I mean, who among us has not dug, say, for example, the guy that steals the right guard, and he's laying on that sand dune next to the other, his friend, his comrade in arms in the French Legion, the Foreign Legion, and the Foreign Legionnaire says, "Why are you in the Foreign Legion?" And with that, he says, "Well, I stole the right guard for my family, and I left." He says, "Get off of my sand dune, dog!" And bang, you see. So, yeah, it's a subject that hasn't been investigated much, and I guess there's a lot of ignorance about it. But commercials can be fun if you look at them one way. If you look at them another way, well, you know. I don't find Barbara Streisand amusing most of the time either, friends. So six of one, half a dozen the other. You pick your shell and you bet on it, and maybe it'll win. Maybe it won't.